set for Red Sox and Yankees live from London, England. Here's Tom Caron, Josh Lewin, and Rob Bradford on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
That a three ain't bad. You got Lewin, and the other two are trying to make their way into this very secure facility. They'll be up along shortly. It's a scorcher in London, 30 degrees Celsius, which means 90, and it's heading up higher than that in a building with no AC. The Red Sox AC, Alex Cora, is meeting the media at any moment for what seems to be the 30th time already here in Europe. If we can pick it up live, we will, but frankly, it's a modern miracle that we're linked up and rolling for you at all. A big tip of the funny-looking English hat to engineer Doug Lane, who's been brilliant. He has no relation to Penny Lane, which is unfortunate. This is Josh Lewin, your presenter for this fixture from here in London. The pitch looks magnificent. The supporters are great googly-moogly for all that's at hand. And what an undertaking here in the UK, but also two very important games for the Sox, who are nine games out in the AL East. The Red Sox are disappointing, 44-38. And we note that the 38 times in history they've been at least nine behind the Yankees through 82 games, never once have they come back to overtake them at the end. The criminal element in this nine-game deficit, yes, elementary, my dear Watson, the bullpen. Eight losses leading after seven, four when leading after eight. The Rays, for example, have not lost a game when leading after seven this year. The Yankees only one. That right there solves the mystery of why the Sox are third in the division. You can probably hear there's an actual organist here at what is the West Ham Soccer Stadium. It's also the London Olympic Stadium. They built it for the Olympics first. West Ham then moved into it. It's painted in the claret and blue colors of the West Ham Hammers. If you have Chicharito in your fantasy league, congratulations. He had a nice year. But they've done a splendid job of getting this thing as Americanized as possible. And when Rob and Tom do get in the building and navigate their way up here to our broadcast location, we'll talk to them more about that as well. You've probably heard it's a mere 117.4 meters out to center field, or 385 feet. There's really no such thing as a left center or right center alley. It's 382 to the power alleys in left center and right center. So that means, yes, the baseballs will be jumping. It's only 330 down the lines. The equalizer, I don't think too much has been made of this, and I think everybody needs to know this going in. If you're expecting some 17 to 16 slugfest, the mitigating factor here is all this foul territory. It is Oakland plus-plus, and all you have to do is get somebody to chip a foul ball what would have been, say, 20 or 30 rows back anywhere else, and somebody can go get that unless there's not a ridiculous shift. And to me, I'm no managerial expert, but I would actually go a little easy on the shift in this series for that exact reason. Give your first baseman, third baseman opportunities to just go and take the bat out of the hands of a Didi Gregorius or an Aaron Judge or whomever. There's actually, it's remarkable, they could have had much more foul ground here. I would say a good 20 more feet down each line, if not 30 or 40 more feet down some parts of the line. But they've constructed kind of an ad hoc barrier, a little four-foot fence. And you can't hop over the fence and go into, there's kind of like a moat in between that fence and where the bleacher seats are. So you can't go in there and actually make a play. But you can certainly stand on top of that moat if you want to, on top of that wall. It certainly got enough support to take a 200-pound man and let him reach over a little bit more. So one of the subtleties of this series is whoever can figure out foul ground the best might really have an opportunity to steal something here. It's a two-game series, as you may know, and we also mentioned it's a chance for the Red Sox to hit the restart button a little bit. The relievers, a lot of them, several of the high-leverage variety, are on pace to establish career highs in innings and appearances, if not both. You were hoping there would be some sort of cavalry in, for example, a Tyler Thornburg or somebody like that, but that's just a non-starter right now. So we know the drill. You know, the middle relievers have actually done a pretty nice job. The Waldens and Workmans, those guys are 13-1 with a 2.25, but it's the everybody else's that have really, really struggled. So we'll get more into that as we go. We also have a couple of interviews that I'll run for you, one of them with Joe Buck, who I just caught up with moments ago. Their broadcast location is just underneath ours. John and Susan from the Yankees broadcast unit are literally going to be just beneath us. So if you hear that it'll be a 2-2, that's probably a little leakage from down just below us. Now, Tom Caron has made his way up to Section 209.
Yes.
And first of all, Tommy, how are you still so nattily attired and not sweating through all that stuff you're
wearing? Gary DeSarcina, who's with the Mets now, was an analyst of mine for a long time, and he still says he marvels at the way I was able to control my sweat glands.
I don't understand it.
Lights of TV, you just got to turn them off. You got to be the master of your domain. You've done a lot of TV, Josh.
So to speak, yeah. I've also done that master of my domain thing, too.
There you go.
On this trip. Thank you.
By the way, you mentioned Joe Buck.
Yeah.
Big shout out because I could not find you. And
I was just meandering.
I just went another 100 feet.
You looked for Joe's forehead? And
no, I kind of came over this way and literally bumped into Joe Buck. And apparently, he and John Smoltz were getting ready to tape it open, and I just walked through them to take a shortcut to here.
Hey, nice job.
And Joe mentioned you. I said, do you know where the radio booth is? Like, he's an usher. And he says, well, Josh is over there. So, even in England, it's not even the broadcast booth. It's the Josh. Congratulations.
You take a left at Doug Lane, and you just continue down the row. By the way, I have loaded up on deodorant.
You'll
note that it's Old Spice because I'm trying to get with the program here. So, before we get...
I don't believe in air conditioning here, I've noticed.
Well, you know, it never gets this hot.
Here.
No. The tube is quite something.
There's no traffic, though. My wife pointed this out back home when I was complaining about traffic. She goes, when Bostonians and New Yorkers start complaining about the traffic, it's horrific. And we are both the New York people and the Boston people. I've never seen anything like it. I'm sure you heard about
I did not quite gain entry
ride?
To
the bus ride?
Well, but here's my take on that. You guys flew in, I mean, beyond luxury, right? You had
the world's most luxurious aircraft.
Okay.
It's only one of them.
So to me, this is just even, Steven. If you fly 6 hours in that thing, then your penance is once you land, you get to go on a 3-hour motor coach, as they call it here.
Yes.
And just kind of sit there.
12 miles.
Yeah, 3 hours to go 12 miles. That's right. That'll be 4 miles an hour if you're scoring at home.
You can do the math. That's impressive.
Thank you.
The beauty of it is what came first, right? The luxury air. I mean, we got here to London. You've traveled with a lot of teams. Yeah, I've never seen a team so happy about the travel. We got to the airport, and they were like, we should play every weekend in London.
Yeah, right?
Well, then we got off the bus 3 hours later, and guys were ready to find Rob Manfred and strangle
right.
him. Like, I never want to step foot in this country again.
Well, and full disclosure on a couple things. Every player gets a $60,000 stipend for their quote-unquote trouble.
Is that everybody on the plane?
That's every player.
I get that?
No.
Because I was on the plane.
You're not a uniformed personnel.
You're not in the
MLB union.
You don't sweat
through your uniform, which is nice. By the way, the MLB union, and I'm not taking sides here. I'm not saying, because I kind of like the MLB union. Tony Clark is a friend.
Had him with the Red Sox.
That's the best Sean McDonough-style name dropping I can do is Tony Clark.
By the way, can I interrupt you real quick?
Yeah.
Tony Clark and I were part of what he and I both believed at the time was a major league record.
Which is?
I was interviewing Tony Clark in 2002 when he was with the Red Sox.
Uh-huh.
I was a sideline reporter. Tony Cloninger was our pitching coach.
Nice.
He walked by and stopped to chat with us. We were on the field in Minnesota, and the Minnesota mascot, TC, dropped by, and it was 4 TCs gathering on a major league field.
That must be a record. That's cool. And was TK the manager then for Minnesota,
yes,
Tom Kelly?
Yes, he was, in fact.
That's pretty
close.
But
that would have messed up everything.
So,
you were saying?
No, I was just going to I mentioned that I like the players' union. I like unions in general. I've been a part of one myself. Do they need 100 people over here from the players' union to help make this thing go? It's not only Tony Clark, it's Tony Clark's minions and his minions' minions. And it's Bobby Bonilla, who's still getting paid by the Mets. Everybody knows that one. $1 million a year for the next 30 years. It's a joyride, I'm sure, for some people. I don't begrudge them that.
Sure.
But I just, you know, you and I have been to some of the same functions. We've been fortunate enough to gain entry to some of these really cool things. And I don't know, maybe it's the equivalent of the yous and the me's. You know, it's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
I look around and I ask, you know, do you need a grand total of 600 to 800 people representing the Players' Union, Major League Baseball?
No, you don't. But just like you don't need to fly on the world's most luxurious aircraft. But this is the first ever. Major League Baseball obviously has spent a lot of money trying to make this a big hit so that they can do this again every year. The Cubs and Cardinals have already committed to next year. And I think Whether you were the Red Sox asking for the greatest plane ever built, or your Tony Clark asking for 100 minions, this was your chance to say, yeah, okay, we'll do it if you give me this, 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 and this. I have a friend who got a job in Abu Dhabi.
Oh.
You've heard about those stories.
Yes, like right.
Just, you know, she gave them a, she didn't want to move to Abu Dhabi, but she gave them a list of 10 what she thought were deal-breaking demands, and they went, yeah, okay, we'll do all that. Come on over.
Right.
So I think that's, I think, you know, 5 years from now are the Montreal Rays and the Oklahoma City Marlins going to get all that when they come over for the London game? Probably not. But I think it's your first time around. They want every player on that plane to go back this winter and bump into their buddies from other teams.
That's
and say,
exactly
we
right.
had an amazing experience.
Well,
you should do it.
And I don't, again, I'm in full anti-begrudge mode here. I don't begrudge.
You sound grudging.
Well, no.
You sound like you're grudging.
No, only because I'm on no sleep. But that
only because you didn't get the 60,000.
I did that to myself.
Did you go to the Tower of London last night?
I did go to the Tower of London last night.
I didn't go. Should I have gone?
It was cool. And again, you know, because they're pulling out all the stops, I agree wholeheartedly with what you're saying, is that you want this, especially the first one, to just be such a colossal hit it out of the park kind of deal.
Right.
They are pulling out all the stops, and they are making it super fancy schmancy. And everybody who could be here finagled their way here. I'm on that list. I mean,
yes.
You know, I don't need to be here, but I tried to work. So
right,
because
this winter,
it's history.
It,
you know, it's
we
cool.
have other reporters. I said, we're not doing a show. We are doing a show, as it turns out, but I want to be there.
Right.
I want to cover this because it's history. I want to be part of it.
See, I don't have enough skins in the game yet. I couldn't finagle a ride on the plane
like
some people in this conversation.
I did. It was outstanding.
Sir Robert
but the
Bradford.
Bus ride. Can I complain about the bus ride a little
well,
more?
Well, you already did, so it's good. Okay. Sir Robert Bradford of Canterbury is going to be up here soon. The Archduke Thomas Karen of Shoreditch by Pekenham is currently chatting with us.
And you are?
I'm just Josh.
I'm a lord?
Yeah, no, I wish I was a lord. Yeah. I think...
Tell me about the Tower last night. It was cool? We had a long day here shooting a bunch of shows for back home. We didn't get out till later than I expected. I had a ticket to it and instead went about 100 yards from the hotel and went on a pub crawl that I thought would end quickly and didn't. So there you go.
Oh, it was a scene.
Yeah.
I mean, now, first of all, I didn't know it was like a cocktail attire, really dress up kind of affair.
Did you dress up?
To the best I could. I mean, I wore my untucket. You know,
I
untucked actually because that's how you're supposed to wear those
way.
Things. But like everybody else, I mean, Joseph Abboud is wearing his Joseph Abboud.
Yes,
you know, and everybody else is wearing something along that, if not Tom Ford.
Right.
So a little underdressed, but very cool function. And as we go along these next not quite 2 hours, we'll be able to get into some of what we bumped into, who we bumped into. A little disappointed that the Queen wasn't there, to be totally honest with you. Reggie Jackson's here, so it's possible he iced her. Because if you saw Naked Gun, that actually happened.
Yes.
But I do anticipate that we'll see Prince Harry here today. He's supposed to throw out
Did
a first pitch.
Did you see him last night?
No, missed it.
Sam, I was at Kensington Palace Thursday night.
Was he there?
Whole base event. No.
Oh.
But... That's why.
I'm not a Prince stalker.
That was a black tie affair. That wasn't even cocktail.
Did you rent or did you?
No.
You own?
I own.
Yeah.
A Joseph Abboud.
Yeah, well, of course.
Of course.
Yeah, I didn't.
There were four of us. Sean McGrail, president, as in Peter Plain, the vice president, me, and Joseph Abboud took a picture together for Joseph Abboud tux.
You're name dropping more than
that's what I do.
The honorable Sean McDonough.
I was very proud of my opening line to Joseph Abboud,
which was
great tux. Who made it?
Oh.
I don't know if he laughed at that or not,
or kicked you in the side of the head. So, if you want to get a little bit of input, I suppose, on what we've been bumping into beyond the Joseph Abboud and Queen kind of representation, just more of the hoi polloi, more of the everyday. I'm going to go ahead and have the guys back in studio play this. I bumped into a couple of chaps waiting at the tube stop when I first got to town for the Underground to show up. See, I've got all the... I'm Sprecken and Dolingo here.
You are.
I think I'm kind of picking this up. But a couple of guys, a couple of blokes that I just
Is
wanted...
Is that negative?
I think so. I don't mean it that way.
Yeah.
But a couple of guys, a couple of dudes... that we're hanging out waiting for the tube as well. So we'll roll tape on this. This is just me interviewing a couple guys here in London about what they did or did not know about baseball and the Red Sox. So enjoy this for the next, 9 or 10 minutes while Tom and I use deodorant. Here you go.
I don't know a lot about baseball, but...
Well, tell me what you think you do know and how do you know it? I mean, because I know the games aren't on TV much here.
All right, so you got four bases.
Your rounders, kind of.
But you got four bases. I think if the pitchers don't pitch correctly, then the batsman, or, well, not batsman, but the batter gets a walk.
Yeah, you got it.
Three strikes and you're out.
This guy's good. He's a friend of yours? You know this guy?
Yeah, definitely. All I, then again, all I know is about home run. If you hit out of the park,
you have to
run away around the bases.
So far, you two are by far the most knowledgeable baseball fans I've met in London.
I watch a lot of TV. What can I say?
Have you seen it in the movies?
In the movies, that's basically where I got my information from.
Okay. And have you actually watched games on television the whole way through?
I've been to New York twice, and I'm hoping next time I go, my cousin's going to take me to a Yankee game.
Right on. Okay. Well, since we're from Boston, I hate you.
Fair enough. I'll say
that. We're sworn enemies now. So I'm going to ask you some baseball terms. You'll probably get a couple of them. Maybe you'll get all of them. I'm going to guess you're going to get 10% of these. But if you do, I got a prize for you. So what is the World Series?
Is that the championship in the NBA?
Yeah, that's right.
In the last 16 team, maybe.
Do you think it's kind of a dick move that we call it the World Series, but only American teams can play in it?
Yeah, it's kind of confusing. Why don't you just call it a championship? But, you know, it is what it is at the end of the day.
See, that's why we get the ugly American thing on stuff like that. What about a fly ball? What is a fly ball?
Fly ball. Oh, that sounds...
You're passing on this one?
Give it to... Can we work as a team?
Yeah, you guys can work as a team. What's a fly ball?
So I'm guessing a fly ball is a ball that's not accepted. Like, as in, it's not caught by the receiver.
That's not a bad guess. It's actually when you hit it and it goes way, way up in the air.
Oh,
flies. Were you going to say that?
I didn't say something like that.
No, you're full of crap. You're not going to say that. What about a shortstop? What's a shortstop?
Would it be when the ball doesn't go far enough, when the bat hits it?
Because it goes short.
It goes short.
So it stops.
Yes, basically, yeah.
Do you agree or disagree with this?
I agree with that.
You agree. Okay. Now you're both terrible at this now.
Oh, well.
what about, I'm going to go to the guy that's actually watched some baseball. What's a grand slam?
Grand slam.
It's not just a breakfast at Denny's. What is a grand slam?
Grand slam. Is it when the other team gets no points at all?
I would say you're close, but you're not close. Do you have any guess? A grand slam? I know. We've got weird nomenclature for everything.
Is it when grand slam? I don't know. Maybe when a team gets beaten by a specific margin, but I don't know the margin that they get beaten
by. That's actually a really creative, good guess. It's not even close, but that's a really good guess. Well, okay, how about this one? What about a triple? What is a triple?
A triple?
A triple is when you have all three people on every single base, and then the batsman hits like a home run, and all three of them, or all four of them, get to go around.
On a triple?
On a triple, yeah.
I'm going to give you about 15% credit for that, because you're not that far off on that one. What about Big Poppy? What do you think a Big Poppy is?
I have no idea. I'm going to try to guess that one.
That must be like an out of the park or home run.
Big poppy. What about a double play? Have you heard of a double play? You need to know this stuff when you go to Yankee Stadium. So.
Double play.
Too many terms.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about football.
we do have so many terms. It's true. It's true.
Double play. I'll say when you have two people, not three people on the base.
That's not bad. I'm going to start giving you some answers here. Double play is when there are two outs on one batted ball. So it's two for the price of one, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That makes sense. What about a line drive? Have you ever heard of a line drive?
I've heard of it, but I just haven't paid attention. a line drive.
That was your story in school, too, wasn't it? You were there, you just weren't paying attention.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
A line drive. Do you have any idea?
No, pass on that one. That's just a very hard hit ball. It goes straight in a straight line very fast. That's right. Last one for you. Have you ever heard of Tommy John surgery? What is Tommy John surgery?
Is it a common injury?
It's an actual
common
surgery.
Treatment for a common injury in Boston.
What part of the body do you think?
Wrist.
Don't say anything dirty.
Wrist.
You guess wrist. What's your guess?
I'm going to go for... Yeah, I'm looking for two wrists.
You guys are so close. Elbow.
Oh.
Very, very good. Because when you throw, that's where you put the torque.
I think
shoulder?
Because a lot of pitchers, when they always come in for like surgeries with their shoulders, and whether or not they can continue in their career and stuff like that.
He's actually right.
You got everything wrong, right?
Yeah. No, you guys are definitely on pace for a prize. There's no question about it. Okay, last little project here. I'm going to give you some names of players. These are real players.
Okay.
And some of them I completely made up, to be honest with you. But I'm going to give you one guy who's really good and one guy who's simply not. So I need you to see if you can pick out which one is the good player. It'd be like if I said Wayne Rooney and then a complete made-up guy. So, and by the way, I would flunk this because I don't know that much about soccer at all. So I'm going to start with the fish category. Johnny Dolphin or Mike Trout? Just Mike top Trout. Of your head, you think Mike Trout?
Yeah, Mike Trout.
Yeah, he actually exists, and you're exactly right.
I've heard his name before.
Yeah, that's good. What about Mookie Betts or Slappy Tubbs?
Mookie Betts.
You think Mookie Betts? Do you think I made up Slappy Tubbs?
Yeah,
I did. You're exactly right. What about Manny Machado or Kevin Kapinga?
Manny.
Manny. You're good. What about Carl Yastrzemski or Gavin Torleski?
Tarleski.
You think Tarleski?
Tarleski.
No. I know. Carl Yastrzemski was like a big Boston hero. They called him Yaz. And he smoked a lot of cigarettes. Not during the actual game. What about Dustin Pedroia or Carlos Bedoya?
Dustin.
You go into it, Dustin. He's another Red Sox favorite. That's good. Okay, these are all real people now. Pedro Martinez or Tyler Thornburg? So who's better? Who's better? Pedro or Tyler? You go Tyler.
Tyler.
And you go?
Tyler.
Tyler Thornburg. No, he's actually terrible. I know, you're looking at each other like it's his fault. He's looking at you like it's your fault. Sam Travis or Ted Williams?
Sam Travis.
Okay, you guys are not good at this at all. Last one for you. Nomar Garcia Parra or Ramon Hernandez?
Ramon Hernandez
for sure.
Yeah.
You're pissing off everybody in Boston now because these are all Boston heroes that you're not getting. Very last one for you.
Is Ramon Hernandez not a player?
He is a player.
Of course.
Just not a good one.
Oh, yeah.
He played a while ago.
NBA one.
Yeah, well, you know, you'll get any NBA questions here. We're not doing that one. Last one for you. I'm going to have you fill in the blank of the team name.
Okay.
The nickname, for example, Liverpool is the Reds, right?
Yeah.
Bournemouth is the Cherries, I think, or something, right? Brighton's the Seagulls. So, do you know the Boston team name? You got Red Sox, you said?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Would you have known that?
No.
Okay. That's very honest.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of teams with the name Sox over in the States. We do. I don't know why that is, but we do.
Yeah, why would that?
Yeah, why fascinate on the Sox?
Very peculiar.
What about, can you name a team in Toronto? Which is technically not in America, but...
I was about to say Raptors, but it's not Raptors.
Toronto,
It's on the tip of your tongue, isn't it? It's a bird.
Mocking...
Not the Mockingbirds, no.
Birds... No, I can't remember.
No, Blue Jays. That's okay.
Oh, Blue Jays. How did I not know that?
Yeah. That's okay. I still like you. It's fine. There are two teams in Chicago. Do you know either one of them? One is the Sox. I'm telling you, there's lots of Sox.
Chicago Red Sox.
No, because we're the Red Sox. White Sox. Yeah, that's good. And the last little game we're going to play, and thank you guys so much. You do get a prize. You've absolutely earned a prize here. Name the real teams. Oh, here we go. You ready? The Chicago Mustangs.
Not a real team.
Not a real team. The San Francisco Silver Sox.
Real team.
That is a real team. Atlanta Hornets.
That is a real team.
You say it's a real team?
Yeah.
And what about the Houston Flames?
No.
The Cleveland Indians.
Yeah, that's a real team.
You got it? Yeah, real team. Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, that's a real team.
You got that one. The San Diego Padres.
That's a real team.
That is a real team. And finally, the Colorado Rockies.
That's a real team as well.
You do know your baseball a little bit.
I know my baseball.
Anything that we need to know in the States about why baseball is not a thing over here? Is it lack of exposure? Is it boring? Is it too American? What do you think it is?
Like when we're younger, we just don't play it.
I think it's not at the grassroots level, which is why it's not like picked up in like... by a lot of children at a young age. That's why. I mean, that's the main reason. Because in this country, we play football, cricket, at a young age. That's why we grow up with those sports.
But you were saying that when you're in New York, you actually want to go see a game.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because I have family in New York, so it's part of their culture.
That's right.
So it was really interesting to see family over there kind of embrace it and kind of really enjoy it, really.
Many, many thanks to Abdullah and Saj, who decided to play that game for way more time than I really thought they would. Tom Karen is with us. We do believe Rob Bradford will show up at some point as well. Dave O'Brien is in the house. He's made it. Joe Castig is here. Sean McDonough will be here when Sean McDonough decides he wants to be here. Let's go ahead and get you what's trending.
Tom Caron, Josh Lewin, and Rob Bradford. Getting you set for Red Sox and Yankees. Live from London, England on Boston Sports Station. WEEI.
We've been looking for springboards the whole season, so if this is the one, so be it. It has a different feeling as far as, it's not even the traveling, it's just the clubhouse and what you get and the media and all the instructions I'm getting from Kevin, you know, so it has a taste, you know, and whatever, but going.
Alex. Talking to the assemblage yesterday, and yeah, this maybe could be a springboard. It would be several thousand miles away if it does happen. Josh Lewin with Tom Caron, Rob Bradford, at some point, I do believe, will make his way up to our broadcast table. It is not a booth, and that's among the adjustments, I suppose, Mr. Tom Caron, excuse me, the Archduke Thomas Caron, shortage by Peckinham. The table situation, yes. I'm used to this because I've been to enough English soccer. I've seen this set up before, but it is a little bit unique to American media. I'm bumping into Joe Buck and bumping into all the guys here from ESPN. A little bit weirded out by the fact they're just kind of sitting at a table just, you know, what do you figure, maybe 15 feet from the actual crowd?
Yeah, open air kind of essentially took the lower part of a section and turned it into a press area, but no glassed in, no bathroom behind you. That's the other challenging part, right? If you, well, you're not doing the game itself, but if you were doing play-by-play,
no,
the first thing I would do,
find the loo.
Where it is.
Yes.
And I think you're going to have to go down into the crowd.
I would say that's about right.
It'll not be easy.
College basketball's like that, too.
Yeah,
though.
College hockey, which I do
a
lot of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In fact, Lake Placid, New York is the furthest distance I have ever encountered.
Really?
From a broadcast spot, because it's one of those kind of catwalk almost hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah.
And you, the without fighting a huge line in the college championship games, you would basically go down behind the Zamboni entrance. So you're going from suspended on the ceiling to ice level behind Zamboni.
Do you believe in urologists? Could have been the call from Al Michaels.
I believe in a big bottle. And,
see where you're going.
No, you just make the run. You got to go.
When you got to go, you got to go.
Yeah.
So let's talk just momentarily. I don't want to spend.
We got a lineup. You get that?
No, I did not get a lineup.
Breaking news?
What'd you see?
Do we have
sure.
a breaking news.
A sounder?
What is that what it is?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
How's that?
In TV, it's an interstitial.
Yeah,
you
I don't think we have interstitial. I do. I know what an interstitial is.
How long
is,
did you know what an interstitial was?
My first Fox assignment was 1996, so I lived until 1996, which means I was 28 the first time I found out what an interstitial was.
But you knew right away.
Well, no, I just heard people talking about it. Like, yeah. We have an interstitial for this, and after you hear that enough, and then you see.
Well, that's what, because yeah. I was sitting in a boardroom meeting at Nesson, it's probably a couple years after that, 98, and I've done TV all my life, and we were talking about building something, and I was involved in the creative process. And I said, well, can't you put in one of those things in
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's how
and
I would
they,
describe
but they
it,
they all
too.
Looked at me like, interstitial? Oh, they got a name for that. That's brilliant. You should have a name for that.
What else strikes you, by the way? And I know we're really
we're
teasing the lineup now.
News, yes.
But as we make all these adjustments to finding new ways to say things here, any of them jump out at you as more interesting than others?
Well, we have a delay, right? Because I don't know if I can say it. Wanker?
Oh, yeah.
Can
well,
you say that?
Let's just say that we will not describe what that really
correct.
Means.
Right. But I think because that's one of those, it is common terminology for a jerk or what, you know, right? For
don't say that. it's common terminology. Just stop
word.
At common terminology.
No, but it's common, right? I mean, it's a negative, pejorative
yeah,
description
but we don't,
of someone.
Yes.
Which has a very specific
that is
definition.
Correct. I remember,
which I did not know.
I'll tell you.
So I posted something this morning.
Oh.
Saying, it was a little joke on Instagram that I was, because did you see the media guide yet?
I have seen it.
And did
put
you
put together
see
by
in
a
the
bunch
back,
of that word.
Did you see in the back there's a glossary of baseball terms and language?
I did.
Things like a base, one of the 4 points which must be touched by a runner, you know.
Yes.
So they're very base level definitions. And so I posted a picture of me looking at the glossary terms with it and said, you know, I don't want to sound like a bloody wanker when I do the show today.
That's actually pretty self-aware right there, I think.
Right. But my wife immediately texted me from home and said, I don't think you want to use that word.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, well, why not? She's a fan of the British murder mystery, so,
so she would know.
Knows.
Yes.
She said, yeah, there are other and better Wait, so there's the long answer to your simple question. Yes, there are terms that I do not fully understand here in English.
Meantime, I've spent enough time watching British television. And this is a true story. As I'm logging on, getting on, figuring out how to work the British television, the very first show that comes up, because now everything's annotated, right? I mean, the guide will come up. It'll say Channel 17 is BBC Four, and the show is. So I'm used to, you know, Channel 5, Judge Judy, you know, is what it'll say. This thing, I swear to you, the Channel 17, BBC Four, the show was Porridge. P-O-R-R-I-D-G. They had a whole show about porridge.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, all due respect, I'm not going to spend half an hour. I don't care what they teach me about porridge.
I would. I'm intrigued.
Well, I didn't really hang in there on porridge.
I mean, you watch any of it?
No.
Like, is it?
It's a show about porridge.
Championing porridge?
I don't know.
Anti-porridge?
They lost me at porridge.
I would
porridge.
Be anti-porridge. I don't think I would. I went to breakfast this morning, and that was on the menu, and I had a very negative reaction to
porridge.
It. Porridge. Just the thought of.
Yeah, 30 minutes about it. Anyway, you said you had a lineup.
Yes, we have breaking news. Yeah. So again, back to the audio interstitial, which you said is a sounder.
Is me doing.
Very well done. All right, one more time. Ready? We have breaking news here on WEEI. Live from London, Tom Guerin with today's lineup, the first ever Red Sox lineup to be played in Europe. It'll be Mookie Betts leading off in right field. Rafael Devers, who has really settled into that number two spot.
Yes, we'll talk more about that shortly.
Yeah, he's over at third base. Xander Bogaerts, the shortstop, batting third ahead of J.D. Martinez, the designated hitter. Andrew Benintendi is back in the lineup playing left field. Christian Vasquez behind the plate. Ahead of Brock Holt at second base. Michael Chavis at first. And Jackie Bradley Jr. in center field.
Jackie Bradley Jr., who has been a bit of an American diplomat because he's already been over here to champion.
Came here this winter, went to a Liverpool game.
The whole London series kind of hangs on Jackie Bradley Jr. at this point.
I had an interesting conversation with him yesterday, actually, about the whole idea that, you know, if he lays out and makes some amazing catch,
which he could.
And he said he's very aware of this, that some 8-year-old British kid is going to be watching this game today. And see Jackie Bradley doing it, because that's the kind of athletic. I mean, a home run, a hit, whatever, those are things you expect. But that's the kind of, you know, a full extension, diving catch. And this kid might say, I want to play baseball.
Yeah.
And Jackie's like, I don't take that lightly. You know, that we're here to maybe create memories and interest in not just the game as a fan, but maybe a young kid learns to play the game and becomes a major leaguer or becomes a pro baller here in the UK, and they'll be responsible for that. He said, if you think about it that way, it's pretty cool.
I think that's a great point. And by the way, just really quick, going back to your lineup there, Benintendi fifth, that's, you know, if we were back in the States, that would kind of be big breaking news, wondering about how that's going to look and feel.
Well, it goes back to what we said about how well Devers has settled in at the number two spot, right? And Benintendi, I think, has hit better, starting to wake up since he moved out of the leadoff spot. Now you bring him back, you ease him in. I mean, fifth isn't exactly easing a guy in, but it's not right at the top of the order. I like this lineup. I'd be interested to see how it works because I like Devers in that two-hole a lot, and I like Benintendi getting a lefty in the middle of that Bogaerts, Martinez, ahead of Vasquez and Holt. You got another lefty, so I like the balance of the lineup.
You know, and back to something you were talking about with Bradley, and again, very, very self-aware, I think, that the most people here, whether they're 5 years old or 55 years old, can relate more to a sprawling diving catch than they can the batsman, you know, because they've never done that. But who on the playground hasn't, I don't care what ball it is, what sport it is, if you dive and do something, that's pretty good, right? I mean, everybody can kind of relate to that. So I don't know if seeing it, if you relate to this too, but, you know, you and I probably have been around enough 2-year-olds or 3-year-olds that when they start to get aware of what's happening and you start to see them imitating, and they don't really have the motor skills yet to fully do that, but to see anything through a 2 or 3 year old eyes is really always been really interesting to me. In a weird way, the 8-year-olds, the 12-year-olds, the 15-year-olds are all 2 and 3 year olds today. You know what I'm saying? They do have the motor skills to replicate or to really, as a British person would say, to fancy what it would be like to do that. So I'm a little bit intrigued to, you know, whoever makes the first all-diving catch in this expansive foul territory, whoever does something spectacular that somebody feels like they can replicate, I think that really is going to resonate for a long time.
Yeah, I do too. And you know, what I love about this event, and I do, I'm a big fan of this whole thing. I hope it goes well. I hope the teams don't go back and really struggle next week, because that would be, you know, I don't think we're going to be able to say this was a success until the All-Star break. Because if these two teams go stumble through the final six games because there's some sort of London hangover, then that's going to be part of the narrative about whether or not this was a success and whether they can sustain it going forward. But I hope that doesn't happen, because I really like the idea of growing the game. And I don't know where else you can go from here. If you start going into mainland Europe, it becomes a little bit longer flight, and that starts to be a little more onerous on the two teams. But I hope they do, because I think this atmosphere can be replicated in Munich or Barcelona or you know, some other places where maybe they haven't thought about that before.
We'll kind of pick up on that thread, Tom, if you don't mind, on the other side of a timeout. And we do expect Rob Bradford to join at some point as well. Josh Lewin with you. We're taking you right up for the next hour and a quarter, and then we'll step aside and send it back to the studios for a bit. Then we'll obviously come back and have the usual Red Sox pregame show. But for now, it is Josh Lewin with the Archduke Thomas Caron of Shoreditch by Pekenham. And we'll talk more about what to expect from London and where else this whole thing might go when we come back after this.
Right back to Tom Caron, Josh Lewin, and Rob Bradford. Getting you ready for Red Sox and Yankees, live from London, England, on WEEI.
I honestly think like he was good in the fourth hole and the fifth hole. You know, he's been great the whole season, so it really doesn't matter where we hit him. He's been very consistent. And one thing about Rafi, from the get-go, he was swinging with strikes compared to last year. He wasn't expanding, and when you do that, you know, you're going to start, you know, your average is going to be up, and obviously your on-base percentage, and you're going to start dominating the game. And
Rafi Devers, 7-for-9 in that two spot, so why mess with it? It'll be right back there in that spot, in a very different spot of sorts today. That would be London, England. Josh Lewin and Tom Caron, eventually Rob Bradford with you. We're going to take you for the next hour and 10 minutes or so, then have a little bit of fun from the studio, and then come right back out here for the pregame programming. Dave O'Brien and Sean McDonough and Joe Castiglione will all be part of your play-by-play team today. Dave, we were just talking about the expansion efforts of MLB, just trying to grow the sport, and obviously they're not the first sport in here, because basketball has a bit of a toehold here, football has a bit of a toehold, if there is even that. But, you know, it seemed to me, and I know Major League Baseball understands this, if you really want to grow globally, if you come to England, yeah, there's several million people in England, and that's fine. I think they understand that both China and India, just to name two, are much more populous countries and probably fertile ground for learning something new. Cricket in both of those places, certainly in India more than China, but you know, cricket is a known entity. So are they kind of just dipping their feet into the shallow end here, coming to England, saying, okay, yes, we're going to grow it best we can while we're over here, but it's a grand design to really go whole hog where the real population base is?
That's a great question. And it does, I just thought of this as you said that. Have they played in Korea?
They have, but not...
Not a regular season game,
I can
right?
look that up. I mean, they've had operatives to Korea, right? I mean, they haven't played a regular season game there, no, but they have sent exhibitions over there.
Which is interesting, right? I mean, we know the connection there, obviously. You know, and I've talked to a couple of former high-ranking Major League Baseball executives who believe that the financial safety of the future of the sport lies in the Far East. Like, absolutely believe there will come a day where Major League Baseball even have to consider a Far East division where they were multiple teams playing their games there, and maybe you went over once a year for a trip, maybe you didn't, maybe it's American League, National League, and as crazy as it is something that has been considered at the highest levels of Major League Baseball. The idea being there is such a passion for the game in Japan,
right,
in Korea. That where attendance now, we know for the last couple of years, has been dipping in the States, it would be a huge jolt financially. Now, can the logistics be worked out? I think all of this factors into that.
Yeah, and, you know, it strikes me that if you're going to call the thing the World Series, you might as well involve the whole world,
right,
if you can at some point. And, you know,
I got a lecture on that from our taxi driver last night.
Well, that really does hit people the wrong. That's a very ugly American thing. It really is. You know, who are we to say that it's the whole world?
It was such a and he was straight out of Central Casting. He's like, you fancy yourself world champions, do you?
Yeah, right.
Really, the world though, is it?
Yeah, you know, no, and I get that. Now, maybe it at some point does become that, for example, the Red Sox would play the Yomiuri Giants.
Right.
And it's a true. Now, until it's the equivalent of the Jets beating the Colts in Super Bowl III, where, you know, I mean, no one thought that could happen because the NFL was far superior to the AFL. But at some point, everything kind of flipped, and I think Super Bowl III was the beginning of that. Then there was a merger, and now you can't really tell one from the other. Everybody's in this together. So globally, could that possibly be a thing with baseball?
Well, football's talked about having a team here, right? And you could do that with one game a week, obviously, although the NFL Europe wasn't exactly a smashing success. Over the long haul, it did certainly help grow the game.
Yeah,
as
it pollinated it at least, right? You kind of got it in the air.
So could you have a minor league here, right? I mean, could you have a double A league here? Now, it's a single A maybe because you don't want to be calling guys up. You know, when Brian Johnson goes down, you don't want to have to place the call to Lisbon, Portugal to
get the
next reliever up there. But it's an interesting time because it's a global economy, you know, with social media and television. It's a global village more than ever before. And this is, you know, it's untapped, obviously, as you said, as is China, as is India. Those are a little more difficult from the travel perspective. Then you get back into, are you doing it in spring training? Are you doing it at the end? To a man, the Red Sox, who were around in 2008, will tell you that absolutely knocked them on their keisters for the better part of a month. You know, they went from Fort Myers to Japan, back to L.A. for more exhibition games, up to Oakland to finish that series, on to Toronto. And when they got to Toronto, they said everything hit them. And that's why I was saying you won't really know if this is a success till the All-Star break to see what happens to the Red Sox in Toronto and in Detroit for those final two series, because it could be the cumulative effect of this. Not necessarily losing these two games, although that will be a big trouble if they were to lose both games to the Yankees. If they win these two games and then go 1-5 on the ensuing road trip, that was not good.
No, and for the Red Sox, it means quite a bit because they have slipped to 9 games out now. On the one hand, they're actually playing decently. They're 10-4 in their last 14.
Bigger picture, they've improved.
They have, but when you've lost.
It's the frustrating stumbles, right? It's the blown game against the White Sox Wednesday.
Against Toronto,
the blown game on Saturday against Toronto, which I think led directly to the lifeless effort on Sunday.
Agreed.
Those are the steps back that any time this team seems to me. And I remember when I used to do the Bruins, they went through a season. I don't remember what year it was, 2000, 2001, something like that. Anytime they reeled off 5-6 wins in a row and fans were poised to jump back in, you know, it'd be a Thursday night game against Montreal or a Saturday night game against Toronto. You know, it's a big game. They're playing well. Ratings are going to be high. And they would lose that game. The Red Sox seemed like that. You know, they come back in that first game against Toronto, right? The wild comeback from down 6-1 or whatever it was. They win that game.
Walk it off.
Saturday, you're up 6-0. It's a sunny day. It felt like summer was finally at the ballpark. And I remember turning to somebody, or maybe I was the jinx, and said, this is the type of day and game that wins the casual fan back in.
Right.
Then they suffer their worst collapse of the season, and they lose again the next day. And by Monday, the narrative is this team's no good.
Tom Karen visiting with us. Rob Bradford, we hope, is on approach. Otherwise, you're being held hostage here because...
No problem.
Yeah, well, no, I appreciate you very much. The Red Sox, some of them now are out on the field in red T-shirt-looking warm-up tops right now with white trim and just doing a little long toss. Some of the pitchers are actually out there throwing a football, of all things, about 15 minutes ago.
Just to reiterate the ugly American status.
Yeah, I mean, here we brought
the Yankees came up with a soccer ball yesterday. See, that was playing to the crowd.
We brought you baseball, and here we are throwing fade routes. But before too long, there will actually be baseball being played. And we'll have that for you, of course, at 6:10 p.m. first pitch. That is Boston time. We'll come back in just a little bit on the other side of the hour. Have another hour from London with you. Josh Lewin, Tom Karen, soon to be Rob Bradford. Stay with us here on WEEI.